Father in heaven, we come this morning. We thank you for the Sabbath day. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come and worship with you. Lord, I'm just an instrument, one that you have called to give a message. I pray that I will not get in the way of the message, Lord. And I pray in a special way that each heart may be open and be receptive to the message this morning. May they heed the counsel, the reproofs. May they be pricked so that their conscience may draw closer to you. Time is quickly passing. We are losing the opportunities that we have. So, Lord, awaken us. Help us to understand that there is an adversary, and he is doing all that he can, unbeknownst to many of us, to keep us from true godliness. Having a form is not good enough. So open our eyes this morning, for we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In South Florida, little Johnny wanted to go for a swim. He ran outside the back door. His mom was working right there at the kitchen, cutting things, washing things up. And as he ran out the back door, he made his way down the backyard grass, down to the big pond that was behind his backyard. Johnny just made this beeline for that water, kicked off his shirt here, his shoes, his socks. By the time he got to the dock, perfect form, right into the lake. He started swimming. But the moment Johnny hit the lake, there was a reaction in the middle of that little lake area. An alligator was going the other way. As soon as he felt that his water was being disturbed, immediately the alligator turned around and they were on a head-on collision with each other. Johnny's mother, seeing what was going on from the kitchen window, runs out screaming at Johnny, "Johnny, come back! Turn around!" Johnny, hearing his mom being obedient, turns around and starts swimming. His mom is running all she can now to the end of the dock, and she is just screaming, "Johnny, hurry!" Johnny's not sure what's going on, but he's giving it all he's got, and he's swimming. Well, the alligator is noticing also that his lunch is getting away, so he's going a little faster as well. Just as Johnny reaches a dock, his mom reaches down and grabs hold of him. Simultaneously, the alligator grabs a hold of Johnny's legs and then begins the battle. Alligators do what alligators do best, and they start tossing and turning. Johnny's screaming in pain. Mom's screaming. The neighbor hears what's going on, comes out with a shotgun, runs down there, and kills the alligator. Johnny's taken to the hospital. The news reporters come in. I don't know if you know much about news reporters, but they ask the most stupidest questions. "Johnny, can you tell me, did it hurt?" They said, "We want to take the pictures of the scars on your legs." So Johnny pulls back the sheets to reveal the alligator's teeth marks on his legs. He didn't lose anything, but there were sure gouges there. They took pictures, and then they thanked Johnny. "Johnny, we want to thank you, and we're glad you're alive." They're about ready to leave, and Johnny says, "Wait." They turn around. "What, Johnny?" He says, "Don't you want to see the scars on my arms? But the alligator got your legs." "Yes, but the scars on my arms were from my mom's nails, which she wouldn't let go of me." Brothers and sisters, the title of this message is "Watch Out, He's Out to Get You." I want you to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, John lays out for us exactly what is going to happen in these last days. I am praying that you have not only your sword with you, but you have a notebook or an iPad or an iPhone or an touch or whatever it may be to take some notes with these things. In verse 7 we find, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought." It was an ugly scene. There was fighting in heaven. But it wasn't coming from God. It was coming from one who wanted to be like God. But they didn't prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Why? Because there is no war in heaven. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives half the world. What? Must be getting old. The whole world. That includes Loma Linda. I didn't hear any amens from that one. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. We usually stop right there, but you know what? This continues on. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who is accursed them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Cast down where? To the earth. And they, who are they? The righteous. The righteous overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. But notice verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens. Why would you rejoice? Because the guy who's the pain in the neck is no longer there. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having what? Great wrath, because he knows his time is short. Let's look at this for a moment. He knows his time is short. Let's say in the span, this works actually really good. We got three sections of whiteboard. Let's say that here we have creation. Okay? Then shortly after that, they get out of the Garden of Eden. Then we come to this central point right here. In this central point, what would you think this part would be? The flood. You're right. Then after that, we come to another section in time. And over here would be what? Jesus. Correct. And over on this side? Where do you think we are in this right now? I mean, look, let's look at the image of Daniel in Daniel chapter 2. Head of gold, silver, brass, iron and clay. Do you understand that this is indicative of the time periods in which they lived? The Babylonian Empire was rich in gold. The temple of Marduk had 8.5 tons of gold. Think about that for a moment. That's $231 million of gold, roughly. That was 2 weeks ago. Now it's about $290 million of gold. But you get down with each empire and they lose value. Certain metals are introduced. We are down into the feet of iron and clay. Do you know what iron and clay is? It's exactly what this building is made out of. Concrete and steel. We're in the toenails right now. Since the very beginning, Satan has had the art of mastering deception. He studies us very carefully. He studies us very, very closely. I need somebody who's not really intimidated very much, a guy. Who's not intimidated? Anybody here? Anybody willing to raise their hand? You will. Good guy. What's your name?
Reed.
Okay, Reed. Thanks. Stand right here, Reed. Reed is good old Christian guy, okay? Just for this particular illustration, just for this, I'm the devil. Just for this. When Reed is studying to give a message, the devil looks over his shoulder to see exactly what he's studying. Oh, righteousness by faith. Interesting. So let's see, who in this room is studying righteousness? Who's struggling with that point? I'll just make sure that they're so busy, or maybe they're sick, so that they don't come. What else is Reed doing?
Praying.
He studies their face.
Thank you.
Is that intimidating?
It's uncomfortable.
It may be funny, but the devil studies our faces. When you pray, I don't like to pray anything audibly. I don't like to twitch. I don't like to move a facial muscle. I don't want the devil to have one iota of any clue as to what I'm praying about. This is spiritual warfare. He knows his time is short. And he's doing everything that he can, and he's going to study us. The very things that you are struggling with today, he will dangle in front of you. Do you understand what this means? That means if you are struggling with one particular point, guess what? Satan has an arrow with your name personally engraved on it, targeted right at you. And it's based on that very issue. Remember what we talked about last night for the faithful remnant that were there. Food is going to be an issue in the end times. If you cannot say no to food, if you cannot say no to your most favorite meal, you will never say no to Satan. The devil knows his time is short. He is doing everything that he can. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, a well-known passage that all of us should be very familiar with. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, where? In the high places, in the heavenly places. This is what we are wrestling with. The devil is in a hurry. He is doing everything that he can with all deception, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. A couple years ago, I was in Tanzania. I was photographing with a friend on a project for the Schöpfung, which is German for the creation. Photographing this project with him. We were in the Serengeti and we came across this little guy. A leopard up a tree. The day before, he had just caught an antelope and he was just enjoying that meal because no hyenas were around. No jackals were around. Nobody was around because he's a smart guy. Just take him upstairs. Nobody's coming up there. No stairs, no elevators. They're not coming up. The next morning, we came back and he is just enjoying this meal. We're a little ways off because you can't go off road, but the tree that he was in was right next to the road. While we were there, all of a sudden his demeanor of just lounging around changes. He stands up, he tenses, and he starts peering. Thankfully, not at me. Within 2 seconds, he comes down that tree. No, this is not National Geographic, this is Alden Ho. I'm also a professional photographer. He comes down that tree. And he hops a few steps, and within just a few seconds, he got another one. But I thought that they don't get another one until they're hungry. I mean, he already had one up the tree. We watched him. He just took this one, and when he took this, he just dragged it to the base of another tree, and you know what he did? He just left them there. That's exactly what Satan does. He doesn't care about his victims. So long as you have not made a decision for Jesus, that's all that matters. So long as that you have a form of godliness but deny the power, that's all that matters. But true godliness is something else. It's something totally different. Peter warns us, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, roams around like a what? Seeking whom he may devour. He is not looking. You look, when we were there in the Kalahari last year photographing, the cheetahs are not going after the strongest ones in the lead. He's going after the ones who are weakest in the back, the ones who are not paying attention, the ones who do not have their guard on. So Satan lays his traps. What type of traps is he laying? Let's look at the holidays. Easter. First holiday that really pops up. Easter. What's Easter about? The resurrection of Jesus. But what is Satan pulled about with the deception? It's about Easter bunnies with little eggs in baskets. Colorful eggs. Do you know what? Bunnies don't lay eggs. Let alone chocolate ones. October 31, Hallows Eve, the day before All Saints' Day. The most evil, gruesome day of the year. I don't even like to go in some of the stores during that time period. Even now, they're already in there. I mean, at the end of August, they're already in the stores. You walk in there. Then you come to Christmas. Wonderful deception. Some big old jolly guy who dresses in red and white, who vainly profuses my last name. I take personal offense to that. It's not about Santa. By the way, have you rejuggled those letters? S-A-T-A-N, S-A-N-T-A. Satan is, he works in the obvious, but he also works in a deception. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 8 and 9. Or actually, we'll look at 9. We'll start in 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with how much? All power, signs, and lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Notice, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie. That they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what?
Unrighteousness.
They had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, I need to read you an article here. Review and Herald, December 16. If you want a really good one, write that down. Review and Herald, December 16, 1890, paragraph 19. Listen to this. If you indulge stubbornness of heart, and through pride and self-righteousness you do not confess your faults, you will be left subject to Satan's temptations. If when the Lord reveals your errors, you do not repent or make confession, His providence, His love, will bring you over that ground again and again. You will be left to make mistakes of a similar character. You will continue to lack wisdom. And you will call sin righteousness, and righteousness sin. And the multitude of deceptions that prevail in the last days will encircle you, and you will change leaders and not know you have done so. You will change leaders and not know you have done so. I ask you who are handling sacred things, I ask the individual members of the church, have you confessed your sins? If not, begin now, for your souls are in great peril. If you die with your mistakes concealed unconfessed, you die in your sins. The mansions that Jesus has gone to prepare for those who love Him will be peopled by those who are free from sin. But sins that are not confessed will never be forgiven. The name of him who thus rejects the grace of God will be blotted out of the book of life. Satan is preparing all kinds of deceptions. Let's look in this scheme of time. Creation to the flood. We don't know a whole lot during that time period. But we know one thing. They're pretty smart. We don't know, maybe they had iPhones back there. But back then, if they wanted to go somewhere on land, how did they do it? They walked. If they wanted to go, well, there was no sea back then, was there? From the flood until Jesus' time, if they wanted to go somewhere, how did they do it? On land. They walked unless they took a chariot. And if they wanted to go somewhere that wasn't on land, how did they do it? That was the fastest means. Those were the only means. Now let's take it from Jesus' time until about 1850. How did they get across land if they wanted to go there? They walked, or they took horse and carriage, or they took a train. Or they took a train. Or they went by boat. Only in the last 160-something years, the last, I mean, look at this in proportion, roughly, here compared to all the way over there, right here, things have changed. Daniel 12 tells us, the knowledge shall increase and men will run to and fro. They're not running to and fro because they have a Ford Taurus. They're running to and fro because knowledge has been unsealed of prophecy. They're running to and fro like a chicken with their head cut off because they're trying to preach the message while we have time. But we're told here, the prince of the powers of darkness is playing the game of life for the soul. He is working with every device that he can invent. What type of stuff? With all deceivableness of unrighteousness to separate man from God. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the vanities of the world have taken possession of the soul temple, and there is no room left for Jesus. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in what? Sup with him and he with me. But you know what? The problem is there is no room in our heart because the world is there. John admonished us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Don't love the world. Don't love the things of the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not. Which is why at the knock, we can't hear him. Because the world is there. The world is there through movies, video games, TV. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. And he says these following words to him, even though that was more than 2,000 years ago, roughly. But know this. That in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we living in perilous times? We're right before the flood, basically, right now. The surge is there. Jesus is about to come. How do we know we're in the last days? Well, he defines that in verse 2, 3, and 4. He says, and look at the list. For men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. I don't know whether you go to movies. Don't answer. But I want you to just take a checklist of the things that you like to watch on TV, the movies. Are any of these things in that movie? I made a commitment. I don't watch TV except for one show. But I made a commitment. I'm not going to watch that show anymore. Even though I love Survivor. Because it's all about deception. I love it for the human nature to see what things, but it's all about deception. And every time I had watched that show, growing in my head was that knock that says, do you love me? Can you do this? Can you really watch this? Conviction, no more. You ever been on a mission trip? How many of you have been on mission trips? There's medical mission trips, and then there's the working construction mission trips. The working construction mission trips are always very interesting. You know, before I get into that, let me just say, some people say when they watch these movies, that's okay. I'm just watching it. It doesn't do anything to me. I mean, it's basically in one ear and out the other. Not so. I mean, physiology, it goes through one ear, but it kind of gets caught somewhere in the middle in a filter. And then it goes to a back file somewhere, beyond the back burner, behind the stove. And you wonder sometimes, nah, I don't say those things. But somehow you go on this mission trip, okay? And you're building, you're getting ready to put up this stud. And you've got that 16-penny nail there and that one, you know, nice big heavy hammer. And you do that little tap, tap, tap. And you swing back and you're all lined up, ready to go. And you're in the swing. And all of a sudden, somebody calls your name. Hey, Alan! And right in mid-swing, you kind of do one of these. And that head somehow miscalculates the hammer, or the hammer miscalculates the nail. Either way, it always finds another nail. And I mean, all of a sudden, your finger, your thumb, is blistering hot at like 300 degrees Fahrenheit, and you are looking through the pages of your brain for a response. So you go back, and it goes behind the stove, and it finds a response that you watched for a movie a couple of years ago, and it comes out, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you just say, oh, and it comes out, but a little bit more than the, and everybody looks like, has that ever happened to anybody? Don't tell me it doesn't affect you. Don't tell me that what you do doesn't affect your mind. It does. And Satan knows that, which is why he entices you to watch these things. But you might say, no, I'm above all these things. What about video games now? Halo. And all these, I see some of the guys. Look at military guys are being trained on video games right now. Then they pick up a real weapon and they're shooting with the same accuracy as in the video game. I mean, they train pilots to fly in a jet. They train commercial pilots to fly on simulators. I mean, you know, you don't just put a beginning pilot on a flight and then he's got a whole, you know, 500 people and oops, I made a mistake. There's no room for that. What you watch affects you. Timothy gives, or Paul gives this list. There's another list I want you to look at. It's found in Galatians chapter 5. This one lays it out just a little bit more. And he says here, in verse 16, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I love Paul because he is so blatantly honest. He's like, you know, all the things I'm not supposed to do are the things I do, and the things that I shouldn't do are the things that I mean, the things I should do, I don't do, but the things I shouldn't do, he's human. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Now, think about this. As I go through this list, think about the last movie you watched, or the last TV show, or the last video game you play. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentiousness, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who what? Practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You might say, but I don't practice them. I just watch them. I just play them. playing and watching are different than practicing. Hold that thought. Let's go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You realize that it requires all of the fruit of the Spirit in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. If you're lacking in one, it wipes them all out. Just one. Paul gives even a third list found in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, he lays out this list even more so for our generation now. TV's got a lot of weird stuff on it. And a lot more of it has become very questionable. Now, I may look young, but I'm not young. It's because I'm Chinese. In a few weeks from now, I'm going to be 48. When I grew up, I remember it was very innocent. It was just some lady up there that went like this with her nose. Dee, 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 dee. Now, all these people that are nodding their heads, don't do that because I know how old you are. That's my generation. Bewitched. Elizabeth Montgomery. Just a little, that was it. But there were warlocks in there. It was wizardry. It was sorcery. But it was innocent, so we thought. But we find here that all these things are very much what we see now, even more so in the movies, in the theaters, on the screen. Verse 24. Now, therefore, God gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passion. For even their women exchange the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, which are being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Is that today? Now let's go back for a second. For those of you who say, I just watch it, I play it, but I don't do it. I've saved the best for last for you. Verse 32. Who? I like that. It's just who, comma. Who are the who? It's these guys who say, I'm not affected by it. Who, knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You sit there as a spectator. You are just as guilty as the person who is involved with it. You sit there in the movie theater. You paid for the ticket. You rent the DVD. You watch it on YouTube. You are just as guilty. Satan is working. He's doing everything that he can. So then you might say, well, then what movies can I watch? March of the Penguins. You know, there's a long list of the thou shalt nots, but there's a very short list of the thou shalls, for those of you who want to know. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul writes this one, and he says very simply to us what we can watch. Finally, this is the end. Finally, brethren, Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, you can watch those. That's it. These are not Alden Ho's words. These are God's words. We're at the end. The end. I mean, we're over here. You know what it means to be over here? That means we're almost home. If you don't believe that, this afternoon at 4, I'm going to share my testimony. I survived a plane crash. I am supposed to be dead. I love it when I fly because I always talk to people, especially when we hit turbulence. You know, people are sitting there white-knuckled. We're going to die. That's okay. We're not going to die. How do you know? I was already in a plane crash. I don't think it's going to happen twice. I sit at the exit window and the stewardess comes by and says, okay, are you able and willing to assist in the case of emergency? Yeah, I've done it once before. I'll do it again. What? I share my testimony with them. You want to hear that story? It's an incredible story. I'm going to share that at 4, and we're going to go right into another message called The Five Generations, which is why I believe we're right at the end. There's no time. Do you realize now, you might think you're young, you got life ahead of you, that you can live for another 20 years if time should last. But you realize that the world's food sources, all these things are running out. It's like the world's expiration date is coming to a close. Lift up the trumpets. Loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. We have no time. We must be about our Father's business now. And because of that, we are in such deep state of denial, of apostasy. I had a friend that was over this weekend when I was staying with Jonathan. And I liked the response he gave. We were talking about, you know, when people ask you, are you liberal or conservative? Advent Hope people, I think, hear that a lot. I like the response. He says, I'm biblical. So that means, I guess you could say, well, if you're biblical, that means I'm unbiblical. Yeah, you could look at it that way. We also call that apostate. There is only one truth. Ephesians 4 tells us there is one God, one truth, one faith, one Lord. That's it. One. Whose head of the church is not even on earth. We are at the end. Now, I need to ask you a question. Is there anybody here willing to say, I'm really into football? You're into football? What's your name?
Luis.
Who's your favorite team? 49ers? Okay. I'm not into football or anything like that. I mean, I like to play. I love to play sports, not competitively to kill the guy, just because I like to keep my heart going. But let's say you are the owner of the 49ers. Who played in the last Super Bowl? Giants and who else? Patriots. Let's say coming up in a few months, you're going to the Super Bowl. And you're playing the rival team, whoever that may be. Now, I just happened to be walking along somewhere, and lo and behold, I found an iPad. And it was loaded with the other team's game plan. Every move, every little sneaky thing that they're going to do to your team is on this iPad. I mean, I would settle for $600 for the iPad, but it's the contents that were in it that were much more. Would that be valuable to you? Luis? Would it be? Would it be? I'm a little blind. I know you're going like this, but I got to hear some audible stuff. Yes. Are you wanting this? Luis sounds like French. Spanish. Okay. Do you want this? Talk to me, bro. Sir's okay. Money talks more. How about we raise the stakes a little bit for this little invaluable little device? 10 million? Guarantees you the Super Bowl far more. Would you be interested in it? From what I understand, the 49ers is like a... This guarantees you the Super Bowl, man. Your name is going to be on headlines. 10 million. I mean, come on. You're part of the secret society anyways. You can get more money wherever you want it. How many of you would dish out the 10 million? Other people are like, what's football? I'm going to give you the 10 million for Satan's game plan. Some of you have never heard this before. And your eyes are going to bug out because you're going to say, where's that from? Ellen White heard Satan and said, this is what he's going to do. In the last days. We're in the last days. I will influence popular ministers to turn the attention of their hearers from the commandments of God. That which the scriptures declare to be a perfect law of liberty shall be represented as a yoke of bondage. The people accept their ministers' explanations of scriptures and they do not investigate for themselves. Therefore, by working through the ministers, we can control the people according to my will. But our primary concern is to silence this sect of Sabbath keepers. We must excite popular indignation against them. We must enlist great men and worldly wise men upon our sides to induce those in authority to carry out our purposes. Then the Sabbath which I have set up shall be enforced by laws, the most severe and exacting. Those who disregard them shall be driven out of the cities and villages and made to suffer hunger and privation. When once we have the power, we will show what we can do with those who will not swerve from their allegiance to God. We led the Romanish church to inflict imprisonment, torture, and death upon those who refused to yield to her decrees. And now that we are bringing the Protestant churches and the world into harmony with this right arm of our strength, we will finally have a law to exterminate all who will not submit to our authority. When death shall be made the penalty of violating our Sabbath, then many who are now ranked with commandment keepers will come over to our side. But before proceeding to these extreme measures, we must exert all our wisdom and subtlety to deceive and ensnare those who honor the true Sabbath. We can separate many from God by worldliness, lust, and pride. They may think themselves safe because they believe the truth. But indulgence of appetite will lower their passions, which will cause confusion and destroy discrimination. And it will cause their fall. Go make the possessors of lands and money drunk with the cares of this life. Present the world before them in the most attractive light that they may lay their affections here upon earth. And we must do all our utmost to prevent those who labor in God's cause from obtaining means to use against us. Keep the money in our own ranks. The more means they obtain, the more they will injure our kingdom by taking from us our subjects. Make them care more for money than for the upbuilding of Christ's kingdoms and the spread of truths that we hate. And we need not fear their influence, for we know that every selfish, covetous person will fall under our power and will finally be separated from God. Through those who have a form of godliness, but do not know the power, we can gain many who would otherwise do us harm. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God will be our most effective helpers. Those of this class who are apt and intelligent will serve as decoys to draw others into our snare. Many will not fear their influence because they profess the same faith. We will thus lead them to conclude that the requirements of Christ are less strict than they once believed, and that by conformity to the world, they would exert a greater influence with worldlings. Thus, they will separate from Christ. Then they will have no strength to resist our power, and ere long they will be ready to ridicule their former zeal and devotion until that great decisive blow shall be struck. Our efforts against commandment keepers must be untiring. We must be present at all their gatherings. In their large meetings especially, our cause will suffer much. We must exercise great vigilance and employ all our seductive arts to prevent souls from hearing the truth and becoming impressed by it. I will have upon the ground, as my agents, men holding false doctrines mingled with just enough truth to deceive souls. I will also have unbelieving ones present who will express doubts in regards to the Lord's messages of warnings to his church. Should the people read and believe these admonitions, we would have little hope of overcoming them. But if we can divert their attention from these warnings, they will remain ignorant of our power and cunning, and we shall secure them in our ranks at last. God will not permit his words to be slighted with impunity. If we can keep souls deceived for a time, God's mercy will be withdrawn. He will give them up to our full control. We must cause distraction and division. Women's ordination. We must destroy their anxiety for their own souls and lead them to criticize, to judge, to accuse and condemn one another. For these sins, God banished us from his presence, and all who follow our example will meet a similar fate. Testimonies to Ministers, 472. TM, 472. Brothers and sisters, that is the game plan. That is what Satan has been doing, is doing, and will continue to do until probation closes. Every wind of doctrine will be flying around. If your feet are not properly grounded, you will be led away from your foundation. You may pass every exam with an A. You may graduate with a 4.0, but if you don't have a 4.0 in the understanding of present truth, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can buy the biggest house. You can drive the most expensive car. You can wear the nicest clothing. It doesn't matter. God is not a respecter of people. He knows who his people are. And very soon, it will be very distinctly clear who is on God's side. Since 1844, the earthquake within the Adventist church has been growling. And now, the intensity and ferocity have increased. The division is becoming more and more apparent. The division became very clear when I photographed Ted Wilson July 3rd, 2010. That message, forward, not backwards, split the entire church in half. You are either on this side or you're on the other side. 3 weeks later, I was in Munich preaching. Church leader came up to me and says, "You shouldn't use so much Ellen White." Northern Germany, the place that first approved women's ordination. Of the 135 pastors, only 5 believe and preach from the spirit of prophecy. 5 out of 135. We are near the end. We are near the end. Our job is not just to know the scriptures. This is a difficult task. It's more than just knowing the scriptures. It's about also living the scriptures, and it's about sharing the scriptures. You can have all that information intellectually up here, but when you come to someone and you want to share that gospel, intellectual knowledge and experiential knowledge are two different things. You need to live your faith. Satan's out to get you. He's doing everything that he can. So how are you going to stand? If you will stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel, faithfully doing his service, you need never yield to temptation, for one stands by your side who is able to keep you from falling. Every youth is granted a probation in which to form a character for the future, immortal life. Precious golden moments these will be to you, if you improve them according to the light God is permitting to shine upon you for his throne. While every grain of knowledge which parents and teachers are giving you should be carefully cherished, you are to bear in mind that there is a deeper teaching than any that human beings can give. Christ is the greatest teacher the world has ever known. He must dwell in the heart by living faith. Then his spirit will be through you a vitalizing power. Youth instructor, August 3, 1899, paragraph 4. We're in the end. Just because you come to Advent Hope doesn't mean you're going to be standing on a sea of glass. Many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't I don't know who you are. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. If you are so hooked in by media, by video games, and by TV, cut them loose. Cut them loose, because your salvation is on the line. You may think you're young and you got 20 years down the road, but I'll tell you, if you die tonight, you die with your sins unconfessed. There is no time. A few years ago, the GYC theme, the time is now. Now, now to make the change. Now to cut out anything that offends God. If you don't do it now, when? I'm on borrowed time, twice over, three times over. We're all on borrowed time. You don't know when your life will just stop. How many of you are willing to say and make a commitment? There are things in the TV, in the media, in the games, in the magazines, in the online that I need to stop doing, and I want help. And I'm willing to stand and say, I'm taking a stance right now, no more of that. Stand. There are some of you here that are saying, I've already made that commitment. I want to stand as well. Will you stand? There are some here that are struggling and says, you know, I like the TV. I like all these things. We'll continue to pray for you. Jesus is coming. We got a work to do. First within, then from without. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we realize the shortness of time. We know that Satan is doing everything that he can in these last days to separate us from you. Oh Lord, we want to stand under this banner, the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. We need the working of the Holy Spirit within us now. We need the Holy Spirit to reprove us, to correct us on the things that we are so attached to in this world. Oh Lord, give us the victory over these things. Call us to higher ground. Prepare us to stand for you. Be with each one standing. Be with each one sitting. Give us strength. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.